From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. According to the latest numbers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Florida leads the nation when it comes to new cases of HIV. The Miami-Fort Lauderdale-West Palm area leads the nation in terms of per capita cases of HIV, with Orlando at number 2, Jacksonville at number 7, and the Cape Coral-Fort Myers area at 49th. That's nationwide. Doctors say most new cases are spread by people who don't know they have the virus. That gap is driven by a lack of routine testing, regardless of a person's risk factors. But treatment and prevention methods have come a long way in the past 4 decades. On today's show, we're going to get an update on just how far with Dr. Douglas Brust. He's the infectious diseases doctor at the McGregor Clinic in Fort Myers and HIV program director for Lee Health. Dr. Brust, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And Amy Zamott is prevention director at McGregor Clinic. Amy, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Our conversation is pre-taped, so if you would like to engage with us and other listeners, you can do so via social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Brust, for starters, can you give us a sense of where we are here in Southwest Florida in terms of the trends with HIV/AIDS cases?
Okay, so the first thing is we usually don't use the word AIDS anymore.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that because I didn't pick that up
right,
from
quite
my
a bit
research.
There's quite a bit of stigma involved with using the terminology of AIDS. It's an old term that we used to use epidemiologically.
Okay.
When people had CD4 cells that were less, their T cell counts were less than 200. But with the revolution of how people are treated nowadays, people can actually be highly immunocompromised and actually take medications and have their immune system restored so that they're completely better. So they don't have AIDS. So we sort of talk about it as having HIV and maybe advanced HIV, but sort of not use the word AIDS. We try to get away from using the words AIDS as much as possible.
Okay. Real quick on the side, is that something that's mostly in advanced countries? I would think maybe in some parts of the world they still are dealing with that, or is that
so
an assumption?
As far as anywhere where you're able to get effective therapy, you're able to sort of avoid having people sick and dying from HIV-related illnesses.
Okay.
So it really is a stigma that people, you know, get labeled as AIDS, and it stays with them. So it's better to just say, you know, advanced HIV that can reverse with treatment. So,
okay.
So where do we stand in Southwest Florida? So first of all, there is still an epidemic, especially in Florida. Florida has been recognized as the number one absolute number of new cases. The most recent CDC stats are from 2017, and we had a little over almost 4,800 cases of HIV incident cases. That means new cases in Florida in 2017, compared to places like California, which was 4,500, Texas, 4,300, and New York, which has gotten it down to all the way to 2,800.
Hmm.
So there's still a major problem within Florida. And within locally, as far as Florida, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, breaks the country up into these sort of almost like counties, but they're called metropolitan statistical areas. So we have, for example, one of the metropolitan statistical areas is Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and West Palm. And that is the number one place in the country for new HIV diagnoses. In Florida, we have, this is per capita, Orlando comes in number 2, Jacksonville comes in number 7. We have quite a few that are in the top 20, unfortunately.
And this is top 2, top 7 nationwide.
Yes, nationwide, okay, right. Per capita, not just within Florida.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is nationwide. And Cape Coral, Fort Myers, you know, unbelievably is 49th. I mean, not 400th for a small
yeah.
area. We're 49th. And to give a comparison, Chicago in 2017 was 45th. Now, that is per capita, but we have the absolute number of new infections is quite high in the area. So we're trying to end the epidemic throughout, and we have the tools to do that.
Which direction is the trend line going for us here in Southwest Florida?
So we're about level.
About level. Okay.
Okay. So the trend overall nationwide, so for the past 20 years, the number of new infections has, despite multiple efforts, that's with prevention and also with treatment, has stayed about between 30 and 50,000 cases, more average of 40,000 flat, despite our greatest efforts, especially with using condoms for safer sex. And we have not been able to improve on that. And the question is, why not? Why haven't we been able to decrease the number of new infections? And so there's a number of points, one of the biggest ones is people don't know they even have HIV. And those people that don't know they have HIV cause a disproportionate number of new infections. And so that's one of the major reasons. And then also people not being able to be engaged in care for whatever reason. There's multiple barriers to be engaged in care. But the number one thing is that people need to be tested to find out whether they have HIV or not.
What are your thoughts on testing being, I don't know, mandatory is probably not ever going to happen, but if we could get as close as possible to universal, what would that do?
So the sort of three, Amy and I are going to talk about a couple of, you know, President Trump called for in his State of the Union address, ending the AIDS epidemic. Now, ending the epidemic does not mean that there'll be zero cases. That just means that in areas where, or with populations, for example, young people of color, where there are much higher incidence of HIV beyond the background incidence, we're trying to focus on these groups or areas of the country, including Florida, to reduce the number of cases, of new HIV cases. And we really have the sort of arsenal to do that. The biggest thing is testing, as you just bring up, that people should be tested. And the CDC has called for universal testing since 2006. And universal testing means that everyone, the CDC called for, between the ages of 13 and 64 should have at least one HIV test in their life, regardless of what their risk factors are. So universal testing is probably the most powerful method to reduce the number of new cases, because you're never going to catch the person that is married. And for example, she's married, has a husband, but her husband is on the down low or maybe using drugs and they're having sex. So she feels she has no risk factor whatsoever to have HIV. So if she doesn't get that one HIV test when she comes in contact with the healthcare system, she won't know she has HIV. And the only time we'll see her is when she's highly immunocompromised and might be close to dying, versus if we catch it earlier in her life that she gets tested and we find out she's HIV positive, and then we're able to take care of her. So the biggest thing, universal testing is huge. So the recommendation has always been to test anytime anyone comes in contact with the healthcare system with at least one test in their life. The problem is the CDC, when they put that out there, didn't fund it.
Right, exactly.
Right? So, you know, then you have the reality of having to fund to be able to do that and then also treat. So the second part of our arsenal to take care of, the tool to take care of these people, is the minute you find out you have HIV, is that you're then linked to care. And in Fort Myers area, we have great places. And Amy, we're going to talk about a McGregor Clinic, where you can get linked to care and immediately be taken care of. Because once you get linked to care and get on effective antiretroviral therapy, which, you know, for some of your older listeners, they're going to remember friends or maybe even themselves being on these huge cocktails of meds with all side effects. Today, we use one medication that has three meds in it and with essentially no side effects. So they take one pill once a day, and it's incredibly potent, very few side effects, very tolerated. And with the ability to bring your viral load, which is what we look at as far as how infectious you could be, immediately down below the level of detection, what we like to say is undetectable. And when people get linked to care and started on meds, they become undetectable. And now the data we know is that once you're undetectable, you do not transmit the virus. So even if you have sex without a condom, or if the condom breaks, we don't recommend not using condoms because there's other sexually transmitted diseases that you can acquire, but you will not transmit the virus. The chance of transmitting the virus with a viral load below 200 is zero. So that's the second arsenal, part of the arsenal that we have. The first one is everyone gets tested. Those people that are positive immediately get into treatment, get treated so they can transmit. Then the third we have is for those people that are negative. But these people now we determine are at high risk for HIV infection, that these are not just background. They're using drugs, sharing needles. They're having unprotected sex. They get on PrEP. And PrEP is an acronym for pre-exposure prophylaxis. The medication that we use today, the only medication FDA approved for PrEP, is called Truvada, which is tenofovir plus emtricitabine. It's one tablet. And if you take Truvada on a daily basis, your risk of becoming infected with HIV falls dramatically. even if you're not using condoms. So these the people that are at risk can get on Truvada. So these sort of three tools that we have, if we could employ them and use them effectively, we could end the epidemic in the United States. The ability to do it is already here. In the past couple years, nationwide, we have seen a trend. We've seen trends before for this new the incident of new infections going down. And it looks like there's been a couple thousand have gone down. We have to see if that's sustained. But once again, the most important thing is to get tested. Once you're tested, if you know you're positive, to get into care and take medicines and become undetectable. And then the third thing is, if you're not and you're at risk still, is to take PrEP or Truvada and get engaged with healthcare.
Amy, who are most at risk, or who is most at risk?
So it actually varies depending on the populations you're talking about. Currently, minority populations have a disproportionate impact, which means there's a high amount of people who are positive in smaller populations. However, a lot of young people are kind of getting on the horizon. I think Dr. Brust already mentioned young men who have sex with men, young black men who have sex with men being among the highest. Then you have injection drug users who also have a risk as well. Seniors in Southwest Florida are also slowly climbing up the ladder because there's a lot of increased sexual activity after individuals lose a loved one that they've been faithful to for so many years. A lot of sexual activity happening in different senior community environments, of which we have many in Southwest Florida. So there's a lot of activity going on, and there are pockets of populations that are being affected. But again, I think the approach is to come at it universally and not really focus on any one specific population, because there are individuals who are parts of different populations that don't self-identify as such. But if we can reach everyone with getting everybody tested, getting the message out about PrEP, getting the message out about if you are positive, get in care, stay in care, engage in your care, then I think we'll be able to hit all of the pockets that are at risk.
You do training sessions. The undetectable equals untransmittable is what you were referring to, Dr.
Yes.
Brust. Is that language and that idea starting to become part of the training sessions too?
So it is, in the sense that U equals U is actually a movement.
Right.
And it's based in science, but it's a movement, and it's an empowerment movement for individuals living with HIV to help them and assist them reduce stigma and really become normalized in the community. For a very long time, individuals living with HIV have been feared, have been shunned, rejected, and U equals U empowers them to say, I am not a monster. I'm not somebody that you need to be afraid of. I am just like you. And when it comes to sexual activity, this barrier is removed. I can live a normal, healthy sexual life, as do anybody else living with HIV. So it's really strong as an empowerment tool. It's really strong, even an adherence tool, to be able to motivate individuals who are HIV positive to stay on their regimen so that they can achieve undetectable levels. And when they do that, it kind of opens the door, particularly for those in mutually monogamous relationships, to be able to say, you know what, okay, there's no other STIs in this relationship. There's nobody else in this relationship. We can now engage in sex without fear, without condoms perhaps, but still be okay when it comes to transmitting HIV.
What about PrEP? Is that also, you know, reaching out and talking to people and maybe saying, you know, if you feel like you're in one of these risk groups, this is where you should be.
That is exactly the message that we give through McGregor Clinic. You know, we go out and educate these groups, and PrEP is always on our education agenda because we want everybody who feels that they're at risk to come and talk to us. Now, we don't provide PrEP directly at the clinic itself, but we directly link people. So we don't just tell them, go to XYZ. We'll help them pick up the phone. We'll set appointments with them. We'll have them talk to the people right there on speakerphone if they need to, so that they're linked to an appointment to go ahead and get these services. Because our goal, our desire, is that everyone who is negative, who is potentially at risk, will have access to this medication that will prevent them acquiring HIV.
How accessible is PrEP? You know, cost-wise, insurance coverage, things like that.
So it's extremely accessible. And the one thing, it's a product of history that actually McGregor Clinic, which is funded through Ryan White funding, that we cannot see HIV negative patients there and deliver care to them. So the problem is, if we're purely Ryan White funded clinic, you cannot just because in the past we never thought there would be a drug that prevented HIV. Right. So in Fort Myers, it was problematic getting a place to get PrEP. But it is available. We actually part of Florida State University has a residency program here, and as part of training mm-hmm. in collaboration with Lee Health, and I actually head it up, we have a PrEP clinic. So that we actually can see patients at the PrEP clinic over at Lee Memorial. If they want to, just get referred by their primary care doctors. If they don't have insurance, we work with them to get it. Our goal, however, is to have all doctors give PrEP in the primary care setting as part of routine health care.
Right.
So there are many doctors in the community now that are prescribing PrEP for their patients. They're having this conversation. The hardest part about giving PrEP is bringing it up. Is actually being able to have a heart-to-heart talk with your patient as a healthcare provider about their sexual history. Some patients are very comfortable about bringing their sexual history up to their providers, but then the providers in most cases are the ones that are uncomfortable. So we've created this sort of safe space that, you know, people can come to. It's one morning a week, but now we're trying to get it so that people do it and come whatever time they want to come once they've established and moved along.
Are there discernible side effects that come along with PrEP?
So right now there's one medication that's approved for PrEP. It's called Truvada. Truvada does have side effects. All medications have side effects. It can affect your kidney function in a rare number of people and also affect your bone density. You get monitored for that. On the horizon, there are other medications that are probably FDA approved probably by the time this airs, within a week or two. That's the sort of next generation Truvada called Descovy. It's not FDA approved for PrEP yet, but there's quite a few. There are a study that was just presented and published our major HIV international meeting that compared Truvada to Descovy, and it was equivalent. It was non-inferior for preventing HIV infection in men who have sex with men and also in trans men. It was not looked at in women just yet, only by pharmacokinetics, because the population size under study would have to be enormous. So right now, it's under review by the FDA, but within the next few weeks, it'll probably be FDA approved.
You know, we talked earlier about the U equals U, the undetectable equals untransmittable campaign from the CDC. I had never heard that. You know, I pay pretty close attention to the news and healthcare and things like that, and this is the first that I'd heard. Is this something that's brand new? Is this a new campaign? You know, are we on the cutting edge of putting that out there?
No, actually, it actually came about through the Prevention Access Campaign in 2016. And again, it was started as a movement. Mm-hmm. The difficulty is really getting the word out. You know, HIV is still not a comfortable topic for a lot of people. I think it's comfortable for us because we do this every day.
Sure.
But there's many, many people who, when you begin to even talk about HIV, they kind of walk away or they say, you know, that doesn't pertain to me. I've been married for XYZ years. So people don't perceive that it's an important issue today. There was a time when you would see a lot of ads on TV and such, and it's starting to climb back up, but it's targeted to younger audiences. So general audiences don't really see it. There's a lot on social media, but there are a lot of people who still really don't have their pulse on social media, unless you're part of a certain generation or it's part of your job. So those of us in the field, we're really trying to get the word out when we educate. We talk about the full arsenal, the entire prevention toolkit, and U equals U is just one tool in the toolkit. But as far as marketing it on its own, the Prevention Access Campaign has taken it to a national level, and they're really the ones kind of in the forefront of getting the word out.
You know, that Prevention Access website that you just referred to, they've got a little short video on there with Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yes.
Director of the National Institute on Allergies and Infectious Diseases at the National Institute of Health, and he's quoted as saying that the concept of U equals U is the foundation of being able to end the epidemic. That's pretty strong language. Is that where we're at?
Right. So I actually trained with Dr. Fauci.
Okay. I thought you had been in a conference room with him.
I was in Tony's lab for 6 years at the NIH, and he was the one that actually translated what President Trump had said in his address to the State of the Union to how are we going to do this? And so at our this national meeting, Croy, I was talking about an international meeting out in Seattle, he was the one that made the points, the three major points. How are we going to translate? How are we going to end the epidemic? And it was just as I said before, everyone should get tested. Just what the point Amy made is if you don't identify as part of an at-risk group, you won't get tested because you don't feel you're at risk. So that's why universal testing, which means just test everyone, regardless of whether they have identified risk factors or not, because they may not identify as having risk factors. If you get tested on at least one test, there you go. You at least have at least one test under your belt. And those people that are positive, you know, get in treatment. And when U equals U, then if they if the condom breaks or they don't use condoms, remember, they're at risk for other sexually transmitted diseases. And that's sort of another whole discussion that we could have. And I've actually been on the program before discussing syphilis at one point, maybe a year or two ago. But, you know, condoms can prevent HIV, but they can also prevent other infections, sexually transmitted infections. And then third is for those people at risk, get them on PrEP. So Dr. Fauci was the one that actually, you know, solidified, this is what we're going to do. This is how we have the tools here, and let's put this into action.
For people who only hear a little bit of the details in the news, is there a risk of people thinking, it's not something I need to worry about anymore? They've pretty much figured it out.
There's always that risk. There's always that
risk.
For
young people, that's exactly
– Yeah, that's
what
philosophy.
Happens.
Absolutely. But I think it's important. If nothing else, I think people need to hear the message that – and it's an old message, but HIV does not discriminate. If you're engaging them in the behaviors that provide risk, then you're at risk. It has nothing to do with who you are. And so I think people tend to judge HIV conversations based on who they are rather than what they're doing. And I think we need to shift the focus. I mean, that my goal, my desire in educating people is to shift the focus, and it's not about the person. So it makes no difference to me, male, female, straight, gay. I don't care because HIV doesn't care. It's about the behaviors. It's about the things that we're doing. And as a society, there's a lot of things that we do that we don't talk about. We keep it in the dark. We keep it taboo. And as long as we're doing that, we are providing the fuel for the fire of HIV spreading. So we need to talk about it. We need to be comfortable about it. We need to make testing universal. We need to increase access to PrEP and other tools like that. U equals U is the movement, but the science behind it is treatment as prevention. Mm-hmm. We've had that for many years. We're just giving it a nice, pretty name to make people feel better and help reduce stigma. But the science has always been there. And so, again, if we can get to the point where we're comfortable talking about it, if we're okay saying sexual health and not looking at it as something that's taboo, I think we'll make some strides in hopefully getting the word out about all these prevention tools and be able to really make a dent.
Dr. Brust, you've been working on this, you know, your whole career from what I understand. You just alluded to the fact that when the McGregor Clinic was first founded and funded, you wouldn't have thought that there would be a time when you had something that could prevent it. Does that mean we've come a long way?
We've come an enormous way. My best friend, so I've been my best friend in 1980, so it's coming up on 20 years. So she did not fall in your typical pattern back in the 80s. So in the 80s, for those of you that are old enough to remember, it was gay men that HIV was affecting. And so Nancy was a straight woman. It was the second guy she ever slept with in her life when we were at college. And he infected her with HIV. Of course, we didn't know it at that time. She had an acute disease that about half of people to 90% of people get, and it can be pretty severe. They thought she had toxic shock. But in December of 1980, she was seroconverting to HIV. So that's 40 years ago now. It's unbelievable. She unfortunately died in 1994. Right before the sort of introduction of the new way to treat using multiple medications. But the medications have improved so much, and our thought process has improved incredibly that we can use, first of all, much less toxic meds with less toxicities, I mean, like for kidney function and liver function, but also tolerable with diarrhea. The meds really are incredibly well tolerated, and one pill once a day. Before, people could be taking a regimen that would have 6 or 8 pills 3 times a day plus other pills in between for other diseases that they may have. And now my patients can complain if instead of one pill, they have to take two.
Right.
Because really, it has improved so much. And also the life expectancy, it, you know, is approaching that of a person that's HIV negative. If you don't smoke, you have to do everything good, because sometimes people with HIV, you know, they can have other issues that are comorbidities that might be a little bit worse because of the HIV, even though their HIV is controlled.
And I would add to that, because it's exciting for me, because you're talking about 40 years of history. McGregor's been around for, we're getting ready to celebrate 20 years of mm-hmm. existence doing this work, watching that shift. We have patients who have been with us since day one, and now their issues are about aging. It's not even about their HIV. Their HIV is completely under control, but they're dealing with other things, cholesterol and blood pressure and arthritis and all these other things. It seems like a negative statement, but it's an amazing statement to be able to say that we have people that are living, they're thriving, they're doing well, they come to us, they get their care, they feel safe. And so it's exciting to be a part of an environment where something that was so fatal and so detrimental has become something so manageable. And we're on the cutting edge of providing that manageable care. And it's exciting.
And can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
Because I really think we have to give real credit to Sharon Murphy. So Sharon Murphy is the CEO and the founder of McGregor Clinic. And she had the vision. And really, it is because of her that this clinic exists.
Absolutely.
And that there was a need at the time. I was in New York City. I don't actually know where I was in 99. And Sharon Murphy really had the vision. And she, you know, herself, of course it takes a team, but she was the one that started the McGregor Clinic. And there was, she saw a need for people that really they needed a place to go to get taken care of, but complete care. Not just hand it pills out,
right?
But you know, a really comprehensive care, and you know, we are grateful beyond belief that she had that vision, because McGregor Clinic really is an amazing place to be, and there's not all the patients and all the staff. We think that it's the best place to get their care, and you know, it's really, really special. I'm tearing up here a little bit, but it's an incredibly special place in Fort Myers, which is not a place in the world you would think there would be such a wonderful HIV clinic.
You know, we've talked on this show a lot about how there's not enough mental health care services in Southwest Florida because of funding issues and growing need. How are we in that balance point here in Southwest Florida with the McGregor Clinic and Lee Health and whatnot? Are we able to keep up?
So I think being on the forefront of – I want to also give credit to Lee Health and the Florida State – University of the Residency Clinic. They really are on the forefront. I mean, getting this prep clinic together and getting it done really was not easy. And Lee Health and Florida State were incredibly supportive because, as far as having that done. And it's working now. Mental health care, people with HIV have a higher incidence of mental health issues than the general population. That being said, there's still a real dearth of good mental health care in Southwest Florida. And, you know, Lee Health really has tried to get on top of this by starting, you know, mental health services. And they really have also addiction services. At McGregor, we now have partnered with a group of therapists that our patients are able to access care paid for by grants and not having to pay out of pocket. So it's not perfect, but it's better than I think it was. It was definitely better than when I first came here.
Yeah, and not only mental health, and we're blessed to have that partnership, but we're also trying to expand and get diabetic education. We're trying to find a nutrition educator. We do have a small food pantry that we provide for our clients to assist, but what we want to do is be able to tailor some of the food that we provide to their dietary needs. As I said, as some of our patients have gotten older and they're living with HIV longer, things like diabetes affects them, and so we want to get somebody in to be able to do that. But unfortunately, the way that our funding works, which Dr. Bruss kind of explained, there's so much we're limited to. Our vision is big, but our pockets are small. And so, you know, part of what we're doing right now in the month of October is that campaign to raise funds. We're hoping to get unrestricted dollars, unboxed funds that we can pour back into the patients to really treat the person, not their HIV diagnosis, because that's never been our focus. It's never been about treating just their HIV. It's about treating individuals, treating people. And I think that's another cornerstone of what makes McGregor so amazing. It's never been about just their HIV care. That's, unfortunately, that's who we allow in the doors because of the limitations of our funding. But our goal is to really be holistic. We want to expand and be able to provide education classes, resume writing skills. We want to be able to provide computer literacy classes to assist those who don't need to be on disability. Those days have passed and they want to find work, but they didn't have the opportunity. The lifestyle they led that put them at risk kind of limited their education. We want to be able to start expanding our services to offer those things. But again, funding that we have has its limitations, and so we're trying to get beyond that.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guests. Amy Zamot is Prevention Director at McGregor Clinic. Amy, thank you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Douglas Brust is Infectious Diseases Doctor at McGregor Clinic and HIV Program Director for Lee Health. Dr. Brust, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
The McGregor Clinic is celebrating its 20th anniversary with an open house at the clinic on November 7th. You can find a link to more information about that on our website, gulfcoastlive.org. You can also find links to information about the Lee Health Florida State University Family Practice Prep Clinic. That phone number, by the way, is 239-481-4111. Just ask to be connected to the FSU Family Practice Office. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.